Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, good morning. So my next guest came to our attention recently through an Instagram video, actually. There he was doing a flawless makeup tutorial, only he didn't have arms. He was using his face and neck to create this look. And when I looked further into his story, I was just blown away and wanted to share this story with you guys. Gabe Adams is on the line now from America. Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning. Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, listen, you are in Utah, of all places. Can you tell us about that part of the world?
Utah is normally snowy at this time. We've been really late with getting snow this year, but luckily it started to snow today and yesterday, so it's been really nice.
Lovely,
yeah.
Lovely. Okay, so just so the listener knows, you were born with no arms or legs. Can you explain what caused that?
So what caused it was a genetic disorder called Hanhart syndrome, and it is very common in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Okay. Yeah, and this all happened 22 years ago in Sao Paulo, and you were abandoned by your birth mother, isn't that right?
Correct.
Now, this is where things get pretty amazing. Because of your condition, your story made both the news in Brazil and America. Can you tell us what happened next?
A family here in Utah who was pregnant with their 11th at the time was 9 months pregnant, and she was going through the cashier checkout at a grocery store. And the cashier was trying to make little conversation with her and noticed that she was pregnant. And she said, "Oh my gosh, what number are you on?" And she's like, "I'm on my 11th. And she's like, "Oh, that's so cool. How far along are you?" And she's like, "I'm about 8 months. She's like, "Oh, that's so awesome. I actually know a family that is adopting a little girl from Brazil, but there was a boy that was there and born without arms and legs that is coming here to the United States that needs a family." And at the time, the lady was like, "Oh my goodness, I would take him to a heartbeat." And little did anybody know that she would end up being my adoptive mom.
Oh my days. I mean, it's quite incredible. But the adoption, it wasn't an easy process for your parents, was it?
No, because when they first called the adoption agency, they were told that they weren't good candidates because of the amount of children that they had. And my dad was a low salary income institute teacher at the time as well. And so they just said, "You know what, we're so sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Adams. It's just not going to happen." And my mom, being the courageous woman that she was and is, just told the lady on the phone, "You know what, we will adopt this little boy and God will intervene in our behalf." And the lady kind of just laughed at her and she's like, "Okay, whatever you say, but it's not going to happen." But then weeks later, the adoption agency sent my parents a letter in the mail and said, "Mr. and Mrs. Adams, correct me if I'm wrong, but I need to apologize and say that you will be adopting this little boy, and God has intervened in your behalf and made things possible."
Oh, my days. I mean, just incredible. Where does your mother get her courage and strength and energy for, is it 12 children?
She had 13 biological children and I am her only adopted.
Wow. It must have been a crazy household to grow up in.
For sure. A lot of us like to say it was a zoo.
I'd say so. So you were brought to live in Utah. Were you told from, you know, an early age that you were adopted or what your background was? Were they very open with all of that?
Yes, my parents were always very open with me about being adopted and sharing the experience and everything. It was kind of obvious being the only brown skinned in the family and everything. And obviously not getting the height that a lot of them got. My brother, who is the same age as me, actually, is 6'7". And so that kind of made it very obvious as well.
Okay. And were you treated gently because of your condition? Or did you just have to get involved in the rough and tumble of life with that many siblings?
Yes. So I grew up with 9 brothers and they did not mess around with treating me like a baby. And that was one thing that my mom sat all my siblings down before they adopted me And she just said, you know what, I want to raise this child to be as independent as possible. So there's going to be tough love and he's not going to like it, which I definitely did not. And I resented her for a long time until I was at the age to realize what she was helping me learn to do was going to make me as independent, if not even more independent than I am today.
Just incredible. So, I'd say you resented her. So talk to me about that tough love a little bit as a kid. And how did that manifest itself? What did it look like?
So I struggled with short-term memory loss growing up as a kid. And so in school, it was very, very hard for me to catch on to things that we were learning in class, let alone the things that I'd be learning at home to become physically independent. So one day I was going up and down the stairs, and the next day I would sit at the bottom of the stairs and not even remember that I had done it the day before and how I did it the day before. And so there were lots of times that my parents would say to me, you can't come to the table and eat food unless you learn how to come up and down those stairs to get to your place at the table.
Wow.
So it would take me hours to get to the table. But there were many times that it was tough love, but there were also my siblings and my parents sitting on the sidelines cheering me and making sure that it wasn't always a punishment, but also an award, an excitement, and an achievement when I did get those requirements done.
It sounds tough. It really does, but it definitely paid off. Just looking at your Instagram and your capability now and your life now and how you live your life now. Can I ask you, did you ever feel frustrated or envious of your brothers and sisters?
I definitely felt envious, but not really much of them because I grew up with them. But more so when I got into junior high and high school on the fact of how other people saw me. And they only saw me as the kid in the wheelchair. And there were times that I would get made fun of or left out. And it's what put a burning passion into me to become as independent as I am today. And also put down the social norms of just because I have a physical disability does not mean that I'm any less slower than anybody else. It may take me a few more seconds or a few more minutes to do what other people do with limbs, but it's definitely not going to stop me from achieving those goals and showing people what I can do.
So there were bullies in school. What kind of an impact did that have? I mean, you kind of mentioned it there. Did it really give you motivation?
It did. And to be honest, I've shared this in some other interviews in the past. There was a time in my life that it hit me so low that I almost took my life. And it wasn't until I failed the attempt and there was a voice in my head that kept telling me that you're not done yet. You're not done yet. You have so much more to give and so much more to do. Your life isn't about you. It's about what you can do with it for other people. And that has also been a drive to keep me motivated and keep going.
Incredible. I just want to remind people, how old are you? You're 22, right?
Yes.
So wise for such a young age. Can you talk to me about what you've been doing and how you discovered dancing and what that did for you? I'm a big fan of dancing. I host Dancing with the Stars Ireland, so I'm a big fan of dancing. So we have to talk about this. How did you discover dancing and what does it do for you?
Well, like I said, when I was in junior high and high school, people only looked at me as a kid in the wheelchair. And so I wanted to prove that I wasn't just a kid in the wheelchair. And so one day they announced over the intercom that they were going to do a talent show. And I was like, what could I do to show people that I'm not just a kid in the wheelchair? And I was like, perfect. I'll just dance. I've never danced in my life at that point. But I was like, I'll come up with a dance and let's just hope that I make it to the final round where I can perform in front of the entire school. Little did I think that it was actually going to work. And my mom was also a dancer back in high school, and she was on the drill team. And so when I came home from school and told everybody that I had auditioned, they all just looked at me and like, what did you do? I danced. And they're like, no, Gabe, really, what did you do? And I was like, no, really, I danced. And they're like, you don't dance. So let's see what you did. And I was like, okay, yeah, of course. So I show my entire family and I get done and they're all just completely silent. And my family, like I said, are not the ones to baby me. And so, especially my mom. And so she was the first to open her mouth. And she just said, that could use a lot of work. And so luckily, since she had a background in dance, she was able to help me get it to the rhythm and make sure that the timing and everything was perfect. And so then when I performed it in front of the entire school, I got a standing ovation from everybody. And that for myself was an eye-opening moment that I wasn't just the boy in the wheelchair and that I could push myself to do hard things and things that I didn't even think that I could physically do at the time. And then I got into high school and I was like, you know what? Sitting in a wheelchair all day is so obnoxious. And if I have the body that doesn't need to sit in the wheelchair all day, I need to put it to good use. And so I started to take a dance class and I had a friend come up to me one day and she's like, you know what? You should try out for the dance company team. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And she's like, no, really, we can audition together. And I was like, okay, if you insist. And so I went and I auditioned, and halfway through the auditions, it was a 4-day event. And on the third day, I was in school on my way to lunch in the hall, and these two girls behind me said, they're only going to put him on the team because he's handicapped. And I just remember that eating me alive, and I didn't want to eat lunch. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to go to the bathroom and cry, because I was working so hard to do something that I wanted and people were still thinking that I was only going to get it because of my disability. And that frustrated me so much that I went home and I told my mom, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to finish auditions. I don't even care at this point anymore. And she's like, no, that is not the attitude to have. And you're going to finish what you started no matter what happens in the end. And it's like, okay. And so I went back to school and I went and I talked to the coach. And I said, do not put me on the team because you feel sorry for me. If I get a spot on this team at all, I want it to be because I deserved it. And I'll work hard to keep my spot on that team. And she just looked at me and she's like, I would never put you or anybody else on this team because I felt sorry for them. If you get a spot on this team, it's because you deserved it. So let's see what happens tomorrow in auditions. And I was like, okay, sounds good. And then I remember I went to the last auditions, and in my head I was like, you know, it would be really cool if I made it, but I'm not going to put all my eggs in one basket just in case I don't. And I only lived like 2 blocks from the school, and so I drove my electric wheelchair to and from school every day. And so I went back to the school to see if I made the team. And my next door neighbor had also auditioned, and she went and looked at the board, and she came back like smiling past me and winked at me, and I was like, okay, weird. And so then I went and I looked at the audition and I just started crying. And I was like, oh my goodness, I finally did something that I wanted for myself and got it. And now I really have to put forth the work every single day in rehearsals and when I'm on the stage and when I'm not on the stage to make sure that I show everybody that I do deserve the spot. And it's not that my disability got me here. It's been something that I've kept in my head every time I get on a stage, even to this day. I worked as a motivational speaker for 5 years, but due to the pandemic, it's kind of slowed down, and that's where I focused my energy in doing makeup and stuff. But even when I'm on a stage or on camera, I want to make sure that I'm giving it my 100%, and people are seeing that it's not the disability, but it's my personality and the willpower that I put into all my effort in doing everything that I do.
It's quite incredible. You know, finishing school, your Instagram feed is a pure joy. And you mentioned there you work as a motivational speaker. You're also big into fitness, and those makeup tutorials are quite incredible. How did you start that?
I have been doing makeup for a long, long time, but I never thought in a million years that I would record it on a camera. But last year, I filmed a little video on YouTube, and it did pretty well. And then I just completely stopped. And then TikTok came around. And at first I was just doing skits and dancing on TikTok. And then I was like, you know, I want to show another part of me, and that is makeup. And I remember the first video that I did on TikTok, and it was probably one of the cringiest videos ever. And it didn't do that well. And I was like, okay, maybe I won't do makeup. But then I was getting ready to go to a family dinner, and I was like, you know what? I want to show this glam, so I'm going to film it I'll put a voice record to it and everything. And that blew up. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe people do want to see this. And so now I've just ran with it. Anytime that I'm getting ready for like a family event or a date night with my fiance, I just do a little quick glam video.
It's just stunning. And can I just say about your Instagram, my favorite photo on there is the moment you got engaged. Congratulations, first of all. He's gorgeous. How did you guys meet?
We met on Tinder, actually, I believe on Friday. It will be a year from when we first started talking on Tinder. And then we had our first date February 4th, and we became official March 4th. And then he proposed October 29th. And yeah.
Wow. When is the wedding?
The wedding is June 12th of this year.
Yeah, your mother definitely sorted out your short-term memory, because you remember every single date in your love life. Quite incredible. I don't even remember the day I got married. Listen, Gabe Adams, thank you so much for chatting to us. Your story is incredible. I cannot believe you're only 22 years of age. And I just want to let our listener know, do yourselves a favor and follow him on Instagram. No_limbs_ is the Instagram account, or on Twitter at no_limbs. And it's just an absolute pure joy, your social media account. So thank you. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Gabe. And I wish you the very best and happy wedding.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Gabe. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye. There we go. That is Gabe Adams. What an incredible young fella. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.